back to Impulse Podcast. I'm Kinsey Gady. I'm a writer for the Spring 2025 edition of Influx Magazine. Today, we have Casey Riddle, the founder of Girlhood Social Club. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For those who aren't familiar with the Girlhood Social Club, would you mind giving us a little tidbit or overview of what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Girlhood Social Club is a group that meets pretty frequently. I try to do at least one event a month, and it was created for girls to meet other girls in their 20s. Most of my events are 21 plus, and it is made for girls to come do a craft, make a memory, make a charm necklace, take pictures. There's always a theme that corresponds with the event. I just wanted a way for girls to meet other girls without having to go out, not having to drink all the time. It has just become a really great way. It feels like a birthday party every single month, I think. It's so much fun.
I became kind of a fan. I think it was like the first TikTok that I saw.
See.
The picnic.
Yeah,
that,
it was like
was
literally a year ago.
And recently there was the 1 year anniversary event for the Girlhood Social Club, which I was lucky enough to attend. It was so much fun. I have my little necklace on that I made today. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you compared to your first event? Again, only a year ago.
So surreal. I never thought it was going to turn into what it has, but it's truly driven by my passion for connection with women, my passion for event planning, and also just women showing up who've got the same interests as me. I definitely think back to my first event, which was literally just a picnic in the park with like 20 of my friends, and like they all brought a friend. So that's how that blossomed. But to go from that to renting out a museum and having 180 girls there who are dressed so beautifully, making friends, giggling, taking pictures, and exchanging numbers. It's just the most special thing. When events first started, I felt like I had to facilitate a lot of the conversation. I felt like I had to be the one making sure everyone was having a good time. And what's been so beautiful over the last couple of months as it's gotten bigger is being able to watch those connections form without me having to be a part of it. Because as much as obviously I want to still come and make friends, it's so beautiful that that can happen just at this event that I give them a place for.
Yeah. And we actually interviewed previously for my article that's alongside this podcast. You were the most fun person to interview.
Thank you.
Obviously had to chat about everything we talked about more. I really liked in our first interview how you described the purpose of the Girlhood Social Club as a sort of a revival of girlhood or like childhood for girls.
Yeah.
What is that mean to you? What does the name mean to you? And what's the importance that that holds?
That's a great question. When I first started Girlhood, it was just a podcast, and it was a way for me to connect with this inner child version of myself that loved to make videos and like vlog. And I found a video of myself when I'm like maybe 11 years old in my bedroom, and I'm like, hey guys, welcome back. It's Casey. Today we're going to talk about my favorite song right now, which is Glitter in the Air by Pink.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, that is so iconic. She knew what she wanted. I was like on photo booth on my mom's computer. That is what I wanted to come back to. When it first started, it was very much so a way for me to get in touch with my inner child. I realized how much that was resonating with other girls. That was also the summer the Barbie movie came out. There was a lot of talk about being a woman and what womanhood looks like today. We were girls together, and that aesthetic was all over the place. I thought of the name Girlhood, and it got really popular on TikTok. So that's what got me to start it right away. But it's just been so great because it's kind of aligned with our culture right now, where we're talking about being there for each other as women. Girlhood to me is really about loving yourself unconditionally through these times in our lives when we are 17, when we're 20, when we're 25. I think I missed out on such a vital part of my life because I didn't go to an on-campus college. And so I'm trying to get that back by having it align with my life right now, but still having those kinds of experiences that I felt like I missed out on by not going to a college party or not going to tailgating. I just have found that that is truly what gets me excited, because it's not about like for me, it's not about drinking or that kind of social aspect mm-hmm. of it. It's way more about the connection aspect of it. And so girlhood to me is not just for one gender. It's a feeling. And I have a lot of queer people that come to my events and trans women and non-binary folks. And I just want it to feel like an inclusive, safe space where we can celebrate this feeling of childhood. Girlhood just happens to really align with that mission.
Yeah, I remember afterwards of our interview, just really resonating with that idea of girlhood. And we talked a bit about how womanhood is kind of pushed on girls and they go through puberty at like 12 or 13. There's this kind of sense of letting go of girlhood and entering womanhood right away. Like mannerisms and adult issues that are kind of just pushed on them. Guys don't really go through that or not that, you know, it's not really that big of an experience for them. I mean, they do go through puberty, but I feel like there's so much history and like, you know.
That's why last weekend's event was also so special because it was in collaboration with this beautiful exhibit. I don't know if you had time to go in there.
Yes.
It is. I loved it. Just so powerful that this thing that I feel so passionately about has all of this history that the girls got to look at and walk through and take their time. And if you haven't been to the Minnesota History Center, they have this girlhood exhibit running through June 1st and it's free admissions on Thursdays. And it is so worth the time to walk through
for
there.
Sure.
It's just a beautiful exhibit.
I cried.
How can you not? It's so powerful.
I was like, I knew we talked about girl and womanhood, but I didn't really know the power that that held on until I was in the exhibit.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this
totally
is crazy.
Yeah.
And I interviewed a few people at the event.
Aww.
I know. They were lovely. One of them specifically said, let me find this quote because I have to quote her, girlhood is not that far from womanhood. Mm-hmm. And that what really resonated with me. And I was like, it's really not that different. It's just like a term that's like a blanket on top of puberty. But from your perspective, what's kind of your understanding between the difference of girlhood and womanhood?
I think girlhood is about play. It's about fun connections. Womanhood, which is so funny because it's like I'm 26. So like I was about to say I'm in my late 20s and then like I got sick saying that. So I didn't say that because I'm in my mid 20s. Yeah. But I am like in that era right now of like womanhood is like there's this bravery. We have to stand up for ourselves, be strong when it's hard. We have to speak up. It's literally like that freaking speech at the end of the Barbie movie where she's like, you can't talk about your kids too much. But then if you don't talk about, that's the hard balance. For me, girlhood is coming back to this version of ourselves that was so innocent and pure and fun. Mm-hmm. And I saw this TikTok yesterday that was like, you never know when it's your last time going over to a friend's house for a play date. How can I bring those kinds of feelings into Girlhood Social Club? That's what it's become. What was so special about my Galentine's Day party that I said in my speech was, I want this to feel like the slumber party that we were all invited to, but then only some of the girls got to stay for the sleepover. Like, this is the sleepover that you get to stay for. Finding ways that we can come back to that version of ourselves, because that little girl who was obsessed with crafts or playing with chalk or getting outside in the dirt, she lives inside of all of us. How can we, in a world that is actively sometimes against us, still be able to come together and find that joy as girls together?
Yeah, for sure. And while we're on this topic of empowering women to live out their girlhoods as adults, what has been one memory over the past year that's really struck you from one of your events?
Oh my gosh. Every event that I host, I always say that it's the best event yet. And it's hard to pick because truly every event is like, how is it going to get better than the last one? And then it does. My Christmas event that I hosted in December was really, really special. I hosted it at Relish in Minneapolis. It was a cocktail attire Christmas party. And halfway through the party, I surprised everybody with Santa.
I love that.
Literally felt like being a kid again. The way that everyone reacted to me walking in with Santa Claus, and like that was so special. But specifically, this specific moment about this party, I had this group of four girls walk up to me and invite me to go get drinks with them afterwards. They were like, what are you doing? Do you want to come get drinks with us? We're going to go across the street. I asked them, did you guys just meet? They were like, yeah, we just met in line. Like, we all came alone and now we're going to go get drinks together. That is music to my freaking ears, because the connection is happening and girls are being open-minded and being brave, and showing up to an event alone is really hard. And I always want to tell girls that, like, if you show up alone, no, you will not be the only one alone. There are so many people come not knowing anybody.
Yeah.
And so watching girls be brave and get out of their comfort zone and break out of their shell and laugh, it's also just been so special watching people from my childhood show back up. People that I grew up with coming to my events. That's probably one of my favorite things that happens, is when people are like, I follow you on Instagram, and, you know, we were in like fifth grade together.
Aww, yeah. And so how has... I mean, it's only been a year, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
I know.
Because, again, I remember seeing the picnic TikTok mm-hmm. like a year ago, and now it's huge.
I know.
How has this whole process affected you? Like, what has been your emotional roller? Like, I bet it's been an emotional roller coaster. What, like, take me through that.
I would say the hardest thing about the last year is that I want to do it all of the time. I, like, really, truly... A year ago, even, was like happy with the job that I have, and I still feel that way. My 40-hour a week job is such a dream, and I'm so, so lucky. But I just thought that was it for me. This is what I'm going to be doing, and I'll find other ways to enjoy finding a passion. And I thought I was just going to do the podcast. I just was completely content with that. When I started the social club, it was just like this thing unleashed inside of me that was like, oh no, this is my purpose. This is what I'm meant to be doing. That has been such a relief. It's brought me such peace that I know this is something I'm good at. I super, super love to do. And it's making a difference, because I always felt like the difference I'm going to make in people's lives is on kids, because I love working with kids, and on my friends because I love my friends. But knowing that there is a bigger difference to be made gets me really excited. And I love the idea of getting so involved with the community. That's kind of my goal with Girlhood right now, is to just figure out how to bring my community together. The last year has done that. I've worked with so many amazing vendors and businesses and talented people who have just offered to be a part of it, knowing that it is something that is bigger than me. I hope that I can do this forever, but I'm going to do it as long as girls keep coming. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited to see what the Girlhood Social Club holds in the future. Oh my gosh,
I am so excited for this summer, because last summer it was like still pretty little, but this summer, I don't know what is going to happen. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. I've also talked, I can't remember her name, but it was at the 1 year event, and focusing on smaller groups because it's gotten so big.
Totally.
Talk me through that. What are we doing?
That was like one of the things I was reflecting on last week, is something that has always been important to me about events, is that I want to be there to say goodbye to everybody. And I felt like last week, even though it was great, it was 2 hours, which was really, really fast. And I didn't feel like I got to say hi to everybody. And that is something that's important to me, is making people feel like it's not transactional. The host of this wants to meet you. I started a Patreon last month, and I'm doing Patreon only events. Next week, I have one on Tuesday with Queenie and Pearl in Minneapolis. We're doing an upcycling event on Earth Day, which will be really, really sweet. Trying to find ways to keep it intimate without excluding anybody is a bit of a challenge. That's what I'm working through right now. It just got way bigger.
Yeah.
It got really big really fast. And like, I am so grateful and so lucky, but I still want it to feel intimate, and I still want it to feel like girls are walking away with a connection.
For sure. Yeah, I think I remember that. I feel like I watched the progression of it on social media, and I remember it was the relish party, the Christmas party. I saw that and I was like, this is getting...
It was epic. So epic. Big parties like that are so fun. My Galentine's party had 300 girls, which was
insane.
Last week was amazing, but the Galentine's party was my favorite event ever. It was just so fun. I'm continuing to find ways. And honestly, I would say what my biggest struggle is right now is just figuring out venues. I think summer will be easier because, you know, we're just going to go to the freaking beach. And then it's like, stop by when you want. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
I just pressed play.
Okay, I want to deep dive into your persona. I think one of the biggest things I've noticed going to your 1 year event and talking to people at the event was how just extroverted and open and willing to just talk about the craziest, randomest stuff anytime. Like, you are the friendliest person I've ever met from the first time that we met, from the first moment. What's that like? Is there pressure? And how do you hold yourself together?
What makes... How do I say this? As an influencer, I think where I have found so much success is that I am always going to show up 100% authentically as myself. What you are seeing on my social media, what you're seeing at my events, that is exactly who I am when I'm with my best friends. Once I realized that being really loud and never shutting the hell up and always having a funny story to share wasn't something I needed to hide, I just realized that that is what drew other people to me. My best friend recently told me that one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me. She was like, when you talk to people, you give them your 100% undivided attention.
Absolutely.
That's not something I'm even doing intentionally. I genuinely am so interested to know about people. I'm so interested to know, hey, how did you find girlhood? Did you come alone? If you came with a friend, how are you guys friends? How'd you meet? What made you guys decide to come? What are you most excited for? What are you doing later this week? Should we hang out? I just believe in the power of connection and the power of female friendship so much. I'm going to attract the people who are similar to me. I also have been burned in the last year with girls who might not align with that. And that has been like a hard realization. I think I've gotten worried that my friendliness can sometimes be taken advantage of. I am learning to have my guard up a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I am a girl's girl to my core. I believe that women have the power to do incredible things. And I let that drive me versus the fear of being proven wrong in some aspect. And remembering that one person's actions or one person's decision, it's not about me. I've gotten really into the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. That has helped me a lot in the last year, especially with other social groups that are out there. I think that there's a space for everybody, whether it's Girlhood Social Club or it's one of the other social groups. Like, the point of it is for girls to come and make friends. The point is for girls to have fun together. Who am I to get annoyed at a competition, like somebody trying to do the same thing as me? What has made me stand out to girls is that what you see is what you get. I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah.
You and I met, and within 5 minutes, I was telling you my life story.
Yeah. And I loved it. And I was like, wait, this is a sign.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And I think that what differentiates you from other social clubs is you. You're the heart and soul of the Girlhood Social Club. Yeah. And it shows. I don't think I've ever met a person like you.
Aww.
You embody the entire purpose, the entire message of Girlhood Social Club.
Thank you.
I want to talk more about that. So I know you were a theater kid.
I was. I'm a retired theater kid.
Yes. Talk me through it. Tell me the story. Tell me the lore.
I think I'm such an open book to people because I have been an extrovert my entire life. I wanted to be a professional actress when I was a kid. And my parents were like, okay, fine. From the ages of 6 to when I was 15, I performed professionally around the Twin Cities in different shows at different theaters. It kind of forced me to get out of my shell and be challenged. To me, it didn't feel like work. To me, it was like, I get to go hang out with like 30, you know, at the time in my head, they were so much older than me. But now looking back at it, I'm like, oh, they were all like in their 20s and 30s. I got to hang out with them and be one of them and be treated like a grown up. I loved that. I loved being challenged and I loved being on stage and performing. It was something that I was so passionate about. And I thought I was going to continue to do it professionally. I went to my first year of college at Mankato and thought, I'm going to get my Bachelor of Fine Arts in musical theater and I'm going to be a performer and I go to New York. There's a video of me at 8 years old talking about how my dream is to be a Broadway actress. I love her.
Hell yes.
Like, she's in me. She literally lives inside of me. But what got hard, speaking of being a woman, is that once you enter the industry as an adult, at least this is how it felt to me, they stop looking at you for your talent and start looking at you for your looks. Absolutely. And when you're 8 and you can sing and you're professional, you're hired. But when you are 19 and you look like every other person in the room, like what makes you stand out, you know? Yeah. And I didn't like that this thing that in my head was so pure and so joyful, I didn't want that to be tainted by a director looking at me and being like, you're not skinny enough, or you're not tall enough, or we want a brunette, or whatever it was. Because like, that's fine. I personally wanted it to stay in my brain as this incredible, magical thing that I got to do for 10 years of my life. And so the reason I ended up starting Girlhood is because I did a show for the first time in 6 years in 2022. I auditioned for a community theater production of Legally Blonde.
I'm obsessed.
And I played Elle Woods.
Of course.
It was my first time, because I didn't go to an on-campus college after my first year at Mankato. It was my first time being around a group of adults with similar interests as me. Most of my friends were from high school or work, where when you work at a Starbucks for 6 years, it's people from all sorts of backgrounds. I just found, oh my gosh, these people have the same interests as me. I love getting to know them. I love talking to them. I want to hear all of their life stories. And then one day someone was like, you need to start a podcast. And I was like, great. Done. I'll do it. Not even reminded me. It just showed me how special community is. Yeah. And that's really the thing that sparked all of this.
Yeah. And so you went to college for one semester at Mankato.
Mm-hmm. A whole year, actually. I did 2017 fall through 2018 spring. I ended up taking a gap year. I left that first year at Mankato being like, I don't really know what I want to do. I know I want to do something with kids, but I don't want to be a teacher. I don't really want to perform anymore. I did end up doing the Disney College program. I am a retired Disney adult as well. And I moved down to Orlando for 4 months in 2019, which if you're listening to this and you are a college student and you're like, I need a break, do the Disney College program. It's
worth it.
Freaking amazing. Yeah. No regrets, but I wish I would have spent more time down there. It was just so much fun. I think I left with like negative $700 in my bank account. I made literally no money, but it was like best memories ever. And it's my fun fact for the rest of my life that I used to live at Disney World. I took that gap year. And when I got back from Disney, I was working at Starbucks. I'd been working there since high school. And at this point I decided to do Arizona State University online, because Starbucks has something called the College Achievement Plan, where they pay for the tuition for their baristas. All of my college was paid for by Starbucks, which was really nice.
Amazing.
And at the time, I didn't appreciate it. And now as a 26-year-old with not a lot of student loans, I'm like, thank God for that.
Perfect. Yes.
And once I graduated college, which was in the spring of 2022, a year later than everybody else, that's kind of when I entered the workforce and just figured out what I wanted to do. It really was just trying to find jobs working with kids, but not specifically in schools. And so I dabbled in some jobs here and there, and then found my current job, which is so incredible. I've been there for almost 2 years. I have no plans of leaving. I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then Girlhood. So
yeah, I kind of want to talk about this post-graduation kind of loss of identity. I mean, it's a big step.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you?
Yeah.
Because you did the Arizona State University.
Yeah. And it was all online. So I missed out on this vital 4 years of having these cool experiences. FOMO was the definition of my life for 4 years. I was so jealous of my friends posting on Instagram who would be at a football game or out, I don't know. And like, I never felt drawn to like, I go to bed at 10 p.m. Like, I don't want to be out late. I've never been that kind of way, but there is still a part of you that's like, well, when you are in college, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
This is the time that you're supposed to do that. And instead of it becoming in the middle of college is when COVID hit for my grade. So everyone moved online. I was already doing everything online. So it was totally fine for me. It wasn't a big adjustment. But what I did learn is that people came home and there was this intense feeling of isolation and loneliness and resorting back to your old ways where you have to live with your parents to take care of yourself in your mom and dad's house after being independent for 2+ years is a big shock. I just asked my friends who have been on a college campus for 4 years about it. I've done a lot of learning about just post-grad loneliness. For me, it looked a little bit different. My post-grad loneliness was literally 4 years long because I just was trying to find my people for so long. And I think what has made Girlhood Social Club so special is that it gives you something to look forward to. It gives you a reason to dress up and do something fun. Yeah. Drinking culture has changed a lot in the last couple of years. Sure. I don't drink alcohol. I serve it at my events, but like that's not what you're doing. You're coming because of the connection, not because of to get drunk.
I think that's a huge thing in college. Yeah. Where it's like everything, all hangouts are just surrounded by alcohol. It's like, oh, do you want to go to the bar for happy
hour? And that was like never me. Like I just wasn't that way. I don't know. I just didn't have this curiosity in me to try it out. I just was so turned off by it. I instead would rather have the hangout be like everyone goes home with a craft. I want you to Uber so that you can stay as late as you want, not so that you don't have to drive. I don't know. Just trying to reframe it like that. As we approach the end of the school year, and I know that you're graduating this spring, the best advice that I can give as somebody who hasn't directly gone through it but has helped other people go through it is figure out what makes you excited. Figure out things that you love to do. Figure out what lights you up. Even if you're going to be in a different town, or even if you're going to live in your parents' house, or even if you're going to have a shitty living situation, whatever it is, like find those times to come back to yourself and doing those things, whether it's making a craft with a friend or going to a freaking yoga class. Finding community is so important, especially in your early 20s when you are literally thrown out into the world and expected to just like enter the workforce and figure it out. Yeah. That is the most scary time. And remembering that you're not alone in that is so important. There's this part of college kids when they graduate that's like, I'm going to go to New York, get this job, and I'm going to be super successful and it's going to look so cool on Instagram. The reality of it is,
with what money?
Right. It's almost cooler to me to be like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm figuring it out. That to me is more impressive.
That's comforting.
Yeah, of being like, hey, does this freaking suck for you too? I think that has been something coming back to the authenticity of what I try to make this brand of Girlhood is that there's nothing to hide. That's part of the journey. And it's not going to feel like this forever, but it also sucks. And it's okay to feel sad and alone and isolated. Yeah. But then there's also really great things that you can do. But you have to show up to the Girlhood event alone. You have to sign up for that yoga class and go. Like, the only person stopping you is yourself.
Right. I think you touched on a really good topic there. I've done so many international classes talking about the difference in specifically European French culture, just because that's what I'm majoring in. There is so much community in Europe. They've got it figured out. Like coworkers going out to lunch for hours in between the workday, getting to know each other, and communities at the park, like parents taking their kids to the park and they talk. I feel like that community is so lost in the US. I remember my mom telling me that I need to find my friends in college because that's like the last opportunity to find friends before I'm on my own in the workforce. And that's terrifying. And that should
not.
And
it's not true.
Exactly. And I feel like that is just so terrifying to all college students, because I think a lot of college students believe that.
One of the things to remember, and I think this is just like part of being in your early 20s, is something that I think back to being 22 is like, I didn't want to come off too strong. I didn't want to come off too excited when I met somebody that I clicked with. But also, I should just be myself. And if they click with me, then it's a match. Why would I want to be with somebody who's not going to match my excitement? You know, one of my closest friends right now, her name is Marley. I met her because she was a regular at the Starbucks that I worked at. And I literally walked up to her one day. I was like maybe 22. And I was like, hey, would you ever want to be friends? And we are still friends to this day.
Amazing.
Just stuff like that where you see the opportunity, you can tell somebody's energy based on being around them. If they are inviting you in, you need to accept that invitation, because the worst that could happen is that you talk once and you never talk again. But the best that could happen is they say, oh my gosh, I have this friend that I think you'd love. And then you introduce them to that friend introduces you to another friend. Remembering that part of being girls together is that we get excited about the same things. Find your common ground and let that take you even further with your friendships. And I look at my friends right now who are from completely different circles, and Girlhood Social Club has brought all of us into this nice big friend group, which is something that I remember being really worried about when I was like 21 and thought I was going to get married right away. I was like, who's going to be my wedding party? And now I'm like, I can't have a wedding party because I have too many friends. I can't hurt anybody's feelings. So it's just like remembering that this too shall pass and it's extremely normal. Take the risk and slide into a girl's DMs. That's what you did with me, you know?
Yeah. I did slide into your DMs.
And I answered.
The Girlhood Social Club. I'm so excited for the future of it. Mm-hmm. What has it done for you and your girlhood? We've talked a lot about your work and your planning, but turning it on to your girlhood, what has that done for you?
I think she's really proud of me. It's even hard for me to like articulate it right now to you because I can just feel it in my chest. I said this when I was on NPR recently, but I said like there's this quote that says when you walk away hanging out with a group of women and there's this glowing ball of light coming out of your chest, can feel that all of the time. Like even just right now talking to you, the interaction that I had this morning that was like with somebody who I didn't really want to invest time in. It was a date, you guys.
It was a man.
But like this is like lifting me up. And like, I even remember the day after my breakup that you and I first met. And I was like, I'm not how I want to show up. I don't know how I'm going to show up right now. It's not my best self. And instead of me trying to pretend that I'm somebody that I'm not in front of you, I was like, heads up, this is what happened yesterday. I feel like it allowed us to skip the pleasantries and go into this even deeper level of being able to connect.
Absolutely.
And I am trying to channel that all the time because I'm trying to remember that like that's the version of myself that I'm the most proud of when I feel confident in who I am and I feel confident in the way I'm approaching a conversation. And the way I feel confident is by trying not to pretend to be something that I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think that especially with influencer culture right now is all about curating an aesthetic and like making it look all nice and pretty. And like I'm learning that I want things to be bright and colorful and pink and red and sparkly and glittery and chaotic and fun all the time. And that's who I am. I would say now at 26, this is the most me I've ever felt. I wish that I could look at 23-year-old me and like give her a hug and be like, guess what, girl? It's about to get really, really good. When I think of my younger self, I tend to go to my childhood self. But a self that really needed love was the me 3 or 4 years ago that felt really alone. And
for
so
sure.
I think that that version of me is the version that I'm connecting with the most right now.
Yeah. And I think there's so much truth in, yes, going to a university, being on campus is great and meeting friends and people on campus is great. But there's also this sense of loneliness too. Like you said, a lot of social hangouts in college are based on alcohol and there's very little room to feel like you can just be your most true self.
Yeah. It's the fear of being judged, I think.
Absolutely. What advice would you give to college students coming in, going out?
Yeah.
This is a difficult 4 years.
Totally. Like you literally leave high school and it's like, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Oh, you don't know? Well, pick something.
Yeah.
I think remembering not to compare is the most important thing. I would go on Instagram, look at all my other friends who had super cool lives, and I wasn't enjoying what I had because I was thinking about what I was missing out on. And then I would think to myself, if I was there, would I even want to go to that? Would I even want to be out at the bars? Would I even want to be at this party? Like, no, that's not what I love to do. It's not what I want to be doing. So remembering that it's your journey and it's nobody else's journey but your own, not comparing, the freaking let them theory, which has literally changed my life. And remembering that the fear of being judged or the fear of being silly is not going to help you get any further. It's only going to hold you back. I've kind of just learned that my favorite version of myself is this version of myself that I was suppressing for so long because I was like, I never shut the hell up. And I also was dating somebody that shushed me all the time, which is a whole other story. Don't date somebody that shushes you guys. That's my other advice. But like just remembering that the love that your friends can give you and the love that female connection and friendship can give you is magic. In my house, which I call Girl House because I'm a girl and I live there alone, my house is where magic is made. There's just this feeling of people coming into my house and it being a safe place for girls to be girls together. Just remembering that the way that you feel right now is not always going to feel this way, but that's not a bad thing. Like, embrace it. Embrace the hard stuff and embrace the unknown and enjoy life being messy and confusing. And like, yeah, you're broke as hell right now. I'm 26 and I don't have it together, but like, I'm having a lot of fun just remembering that you are so not alone, which when I was 23, I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am alone, actually. Nobody's feeling what I'm feeling. But it's actually the opposite. You're always going to find your people. As long as you're 100% yourself, your people are going to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 1 year, but I think the Girlhood Social Club is just getting started. What are your hopes for the future? Give us the details.
So I am really into manifestation. I truly believe that my outlook on life in the last year has changed so much that what's meant for me is going to find me. And so I'm trying to release a little bit of control and show up as my authentic self, which transparently has been really hard this last month going through a breakup. And that's something that I'm actually really struggling to talk about. If I'm being honest, I have not been able to show up as much as I want to on social media right now because I'm like, how do I navigate this? Right now in this moment in April, it's taking a pause before summer because summer is, we are going to go so hard. I just want to have the best summer ever. Beach days, grilling days, clothing swap. Like, I just want it to be a summer out of a movie. I want it to feel like what Legally Blonde looked like at the beginning when Elle is in Harvard and all the girls are in the sorority house. I want it to be that.
Amazing.
As adults in Minneapolis. So
yes,
I'm just taking it a day at a time right now. I'm enjoying the success and I'm trying not to be like, okay, I hit this goal. Now what's the next thing? I'm trying to just like sit with the excitement of what it is right now.
Yeah.
I think the growth will come with that.
For sure.
I'm just trying to not put any pressure on myself. I don't want it to ever feel like a job. I just want it to continue to be fun. If I could have any goal for myself for a year from now, it's that obviously I would love for this to be a job that I do forever. I would love for it to become a job. Like, I would, that's my dream. But I don't want to lose the purpose of it for myself. Yeah. And so that's what I'm focusing on right now, is figuring out how to make it bigger and better, but not make it so that I don't want to do it.
And there's that balance and also fear of burnout.
Totally.
You got it, girl.
I do think this last month like really proved to me that like I have to just slow down.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's a really exciting time. I can't wait to see what the next year holds. I am manifesting all of my goals, but all I could ask for is that it just continues to be fun and I continue to reach more girls.
Cannot wait to see.
Yeah, we're
going to
have the best freaking summer ever.
I'm so excited. And for all the girlies out there listening, where can they find the Girlhood Social Club?
So I primarily use Instagram at Girlhood Social Club. That is the primary place for content, but I also have a website. I know that there are some girls without social media, so I recommend updates on my website, which is just girlhoodsocialclub.com. I also have a Patreon, which I call my Girlhood Social Club close friend story. It's $5 a month and gets you a lot of extra bonus content as well as extra events. The podcast goes out every Tuesday, and after we get off, you're going to teach me how to be a better podcaster. And so looking forward to being able to just be more intentional with that too.
Yeah, amazing. Casey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yay.
And thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Impulse Podcast.
Thanks, Kinsey. Thanks for having me.
Bye.